Aisha has always been a fiercely independent thinker. She grew up in a traditional Afghani immigrant family,
which I found difficult to grow up with because I was going to in a school where I was being taught, you know, I have freedom of speech, I have rights. And when I was coming home, I had to, you know, put on act that I didn't have any rights, I didn't have any freedom of speech, I was obeying my father. Then after my father was my uncles, after my uncles my brothers grew up. So I was always being controlled, I had no rights, and every time I did speak up, I always saw violence towards me.
At 19, she ran away from home. She got pregnant with her boyfriend at the time, but after she gave birth, she suffered from postnatal depression, and her boyfriend became violent. She fled, seeking refuge with a friend, but her family found her and insisted she return home.
I was taunted every day, you know, you're a shame, how could you run away, you brought shame to the family, nobody will marry your sisters now, who will marry your brothers? I was shifted from the inside the house to a bungalow outside the house.
Aisha was miserable and desperate to escape from that life. When her family suggested she marry her cousin in Afghanistan, she saw this as an opportunity to escape from her misery, but in a way that would meet their approval. She flew to Afghanistan to meet him, but from the beginning she could see that he was a brute.
I didn't like him. He just, to me, he looked controlling. Like straight away, that those eyes. I was waiting there to get my bags and he's telling me to go back. The mail's here. I'll take it for you. I didn't like that. I like to do things on my own.
Little did she know that her family had conspired to have her marry him while she was in Afghanistan.
He took me to this tailor where he had ordered my wedding dress for me, and it was the most ugliest wedding dress I've ever seen. I actually created a scene there and I ripped the dress, the flowers that were on the dress. It was just left there without any help, any support. And I was hoping that, you know, if I create a scene, there'll be police coming in the shop and asking, and then I could tell them. But silly me, you know, there's no police in Afghanistan, so nobody came to help. When I went back home that day, I was punished for what I had done. Well, he told me this is Afghanistan, that sort of behavior is not acceptable. I could see it in his face. He was very, very angry. And told him, I don't want to get married to you. And that's when he assaulted me. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Aisha was depressed, even suicidal, but her family pressured her to arrange for his visa and bring him back to Australia. As soon as he arrived, the abuse continued. She turned to her family for support, but they insisted she stay with him. Her grandmother said that if she got pregnant with him, he'd change, but it made no difference to have a child. The violence continued, and then he turned on her son. At that moment, she finally decided to leave him. She reported him to the police, and he was imprisoned for 2 years. They divorced. But fighting for her own safety cost her dearly in other ways.
Nobody wanted to know me. I would walk in shopping centres, and the Afghans that I knew would just look away. They wouldn't say hello, or they would give me greases, you know. My aunties told me not to come there anymore. My mom told me not to come around anymore because my brother doesn't like it.
The day before her ex was released, he began to make threats to take their daughter. Under Afghani law, he could easily obtain a passport for their child without her consent. Aisha was petrified that her ex would kidnap their child and take her to Afghanistan. That's when lawyer Gregory O'Brien from Peninsula Community Legal Centre came on board.
I was panicking a lot, and Greg, first of all, he calmed me down. He goes, look, it hasn't happened. He hasn't come out yet. You need to relax, calm down. He went all the way to getting things ready for me on the day, because we had to get an urgent order for the federal police to put the child's name on the airport watch list. And he did it for me on that day.
The support Aisha received vindicated her instinct that despite what her family and community said, she was entitled to feel safe and protected.
From the service that they have given me, is I don't know how to put it in words. Always punctual, always there, always in advance.
To this day, Aisha's ex-husband harasses and threatens her and her children. Her lawyer has drawn on the full arsenal of legal tools available to safeguard her family. Intervention orders, indefinite intervention orders, family court orders, police surveillance at the children's school. Still, her ex-husband circumvents these measures. Aisha, her lawyers and the police remain on the defensive.
If I had the chance to tell another woman who's in the same situation as I am, the avenues, the help that is out there, I wouldn't hesitate.
Today, Afghani women in her community who are in similar positions privately seek advice from Aisha.
I have women at the moment approach me in shopping centres, but they don't want their husbands to know. So they go, you know, just I want to ask you a question about, you know, please don't talk about it to anyone. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And you know what, what do I do? Can you take my kids? Because the first threat that those men make, we're going to take the kids away from you. Because Islamically, kids, you know, are said to be given to the party that can look after, generally the father. But in Australia, if the mother can work and look after the kids, the mother can have the kids. So I'm trying to explain it that way.
She was once seen as a pariah, but now she serves as a role model.